So ministries like this, this is a wonderful thing that we're doing here, and so God bless us as we do that. And so good to see Tina and her daughters here today. From the land of the Razorbacks, my home state, Arkansas, she's and her family are there in Hot Springs, which is about 45 minutes, I think, from Russellville, but it seems like forever because of the Ouachita Mountains. But it's a beautiful area. She was a part of Church of Living Hope and Calvary Commission for a decade. Sounds like a long time when you say a decade, right? 10 years. And now they're serving up there. And so good to have my friends with us here today, Chad and Lacey Wilson. Let's give them a big hand, too. Chad has served as a youth pastor and worked with our children at Grace Chapel. When he was there, and they're recently married, January the 19th. It's not the 20th, as some minister put on their marriage certificate. It's the 19th. And so they're good friends of ours, and so they're with us today. And he is the editor of the Brownsboro paper, if I said that right? So watch what you do, because he might put you in the Brownsboro newspaper. At the church yesterday. But so good to be with you today. I want to share a message out of Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. I want to talk to you about process today. Probably not a popular word. We don't like it. We're pretty quick as Americans. And I don't necessarily say that totally in criticism. Some of the speed that America has in technology, in leadership, in industry has made us the greatest nation in history in regards to production and things like that, military might. And so it's not negative, the fact that we know how to get the job done in the United States of America, but one of the problems in a culture like ours is because of the production mindset, we translate that so often into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, Jesus said, James said, in him is no shadow of turning. Talking about the old dial clock, the sun dial clock. That ain't a speedy process. You're not watching the hand tick. And so in the kingdom of God, when it comes to results and when it comes to us progressing and maturing and growing and developing into the people that God has always wanted us to be or called us to be, and quite honestly, the person that you've deep within your heart always wanted to become, there is a process involved in becoming a disciple. Now, how many would give me an amen? I mean a real amen, not a courtesy amen. I'm talking about, you know it inside of you, that becoming the person that God's called you to be is a process. And it's not an instant process. And I mean, you know, you were saved instantly by the blood of Jesus Christ and through faith in the work that Christ did on the cross. And when you believe and when you confess, I mean, you're born again. You don't have to do a lot of things outside of confess and believe and repent, but becoming the mature person that God wants you to become. We're talking about a lifetime. Now, I'm not telling you that this morning so you can use that as an excuse. There's a lot of people that use that as an excuse. Well, I'm just in a process. No, you're just a jerk. I'm not talking about anybody in this room in particular. You need to not use that as an excuse that I'm in a process. Well, yes, you are in a process, but there are things that we've learned in the past that need to be applied in the present. And then when we get to that place of application from the knowledge, and we feel confident about who we are, and it's okay to feel confident about who you are in Christ Jesus, it is as if God says, now let me show you what you still lack. And he kind of opens the window a little bit wider, and you get to see, oh, now I've come a long way, but I still have a long way to go. Now don't be depressed by that. You just pick up all the resources that you have and all the faith that you started with and gained along the way, and you keep pressing forward and you reach those summits and you reach those places, and it's always the same for every person I've ever spoken to, even the greatest of men of God. They always say that God's brought me to this mountain not so that I can rejoice of the fact that I'm on the mountain, but He's brought me to the mountain so that I could look over that way and see the bigger mountain, and God says, that's where I'm going to take you. You see, there's a process in becoming a person of God. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. And we're going to have this up in Espanol. It's there on the bottom. There it is on the bottom. Good job, guys. We got a great sound and media team. Why don't you give these guys a hand? Jesus is speaking in this parable. He says this. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Let's pray one more time today. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to speak your word at the Church of Living Hope. And Lord, I thank you for this parable that you taught several years ago, several thousand years ago. Many parables, Lord, you spoke about that had direct and exact meaning, sometimes layered. And Lord, today I believe that the meaning of this parable that you were teaching is speaking of the process that is in our life. Lord, there's a process by which we become mature. There's a process by which we get involved in ministry. There's a process in our relationships, even in the temporal things on the earth. And Lord, today I pray that you would instruct us clearly through your word and through my speaking of your word, and definitely with the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us understand the need of being patient in this process that's sometimes kind of painful. But Lord, indeed, if we wait upon the Lord, we are renewed. Lord, if we do not grow weary in our well-doing, Lord, we reap if we do not give out. Thank you, Lord, for the process today. Speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen with me today. Amen. This parable is dealing with growing seed. Jesus is really talking about a process. The parable, the first parable in chapter 4 of Mark, he goes into great detail about the different types of soil and the seed, and he talks about a farmer going out to plant, and some of the seed kind of fell along the wayside. It just fell on the ground, on the hard ground, maybe not even in any form of soil at all, maybe even on clay. And the seed just fell along the way, and the birds of the air came and devoured it, and he was communicating that that is just like the devil. That is what he does to so many people. So many people hear the word of God, but I mean, it's as if we're just hard-headed sometimes. That's really what I'm trying to say. Or sometimes we're just hard-headed and hard-hearted and stiff-necked, and I mean, it's just ping, 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 and the word does nothing. And then he goes on to talk about how it fell among thorns, and it fell among the rocky place, and then the one place it fell, he said, but it fell in the good soil. And when the seed falls in the good soil, it will produce a harvest. But this parable, which is the only parable like it in all four Gospels, it's only mentioned in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. It's a very brief three-verse parable in contrast to the in-depth parable in the first few verses. It's just as if Jesus was making a casual statement. Yeah, a farmer went along, scattered seed on the ground, and all of a sudden, whether the guy slept or knew anything about it, it grew up and produced a harvest, and he put the sickle to it, and that was the end of the story. And it's amazing how Jesus sometimes does this, how he goes into great detail about one parable, and that one parable that you wish to God he would have explained a little better. He would have went into details about. This is one of those that he assumes there's a certain amount of knowledge on the part of the hearer. He's talking about process. He's talking about in between the seed being scattered on the ground and that time when you bring in the harvest, that little gap, that little place in between that says you don't even realize what's happening, and whether you sleep or whether you're not sleeping or whether you're going or whether you're sitting, this thing is happening. You see, life is full of process. Those of you that are in school understand process. How many of you young people are excited that school is almost out? Is school out? One more week? Two more weeks? Two more weeks? There's a process in school. If you want to receive an education, guess what? Somebody just doesn't walk up to you with a degree and go, you know what? I like the way you look today. I know who your folks are. Here, just take this degree and just put it on in a frame and hang it on your wall. I'm just giving this to you. No, you, when it comes to a degree, you've got to earn a degree. You've got to go to school. You've got to do homework. You've got to take tests. You've got to study. And you've got to ask questions. And you've got to go to the library. There's a process involved in education. And this lasts for a minimum of 12 years, maybe 16 years. Maybe you're going to become Dr. Philip Dillon here one day. Which he's about to become, by the way, if you didn't know that about your pastor. Pastor, was there a process in this education? There's a long, drawn-out process. There's a process in marriage, beginning first and foremost. Let me give you some marriage counsel this morning for those of you that are looking for a spouse. Pray. And after you've prayed, pray some more. And after you've prayed again, rebuke the devil for making you think you've prayed enough. Because you need to pray about the person that God brings into your life and tell your emotions to get behind me. And then you go into a courting process, not a sporting process. And you begin to know the person, to get to understand the person, to get to develop that relationship, to have a successful marriage. Can I tell you, it's more than a seminar, it's more than a book, and it's more than just seeing her eyes flicker in front of you. It's a process. Lori and I will be able to celebrate on May the 22nd, coming up Thursday, 16 years of marriage. Amen. And it's been difficult for Lori. It's been a process. She's growing and learning. I'm helping my wife to grow in the Lord. And God uses husbands like that. It's your ministry. Right, Cindy? But to have success in marriage and to have success in education, to have success on your job, there is a process involved. It's not an instant thing. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west, or rather the world turns. We know really how that works scientifically. The ATM machine. There's a process in the ATM machine. I was looking at this the other day, and you look at the picture on the gas pump or the ATM machine and maybe use a debit card or an ATM card. You don't put the ATM card any way that you woke up and felt led of the Lord to do. There's a picture on the gas pump that has the magnetic tab, and it's facing a certain direction. You can stick it in upside down, right side up, 25 times in a row. You ain't getting no gas until you look at the picture and go, oh, I've got to turn it this way. And then you quickly slide it in and remove card. Select the type of gas that you like. Do you want a receipt? The Mineola Walmart asks you if you want a car wash, and there's not a car wash anywhere around the Mineola Walmart. I find that interesting every time I go there. They ask you at some, do you want the Aditec or whatever that's called? I mean, it's like a whole process to get gas in your car or ATM machine. And then the famous question at the ATM machine is, do you want to make another transaction? I've never in my life of using the ATM card seen anyone make another transaction. I don't know why that's there. Maybe you're in business and you understand that. My point today is this. There is a process involved in every single thing that we do in life. Even in the United States of America where everything is pretty fast. There's a process involved. We have to understand this. And everything, you think maybe you're in a season right now, you think, well, when I get out of this season, there'll be no more process. No, when you get over to where that next level is, there's a process there. And when you come to the next level of your life, there's going to be processes there in your marriage, in raising children, in ministry, in business, in technology, in every area of all of our lives. There is a process that we must abide by. This is a natural principle. Now, Jesus is communicating this really in a generic sense. Application applies in all areas, but today we want to bring it in the spiritual part of our life. He's saying a farmer scatters seed and he goes about his business. No doubt it's assumed that it fell in good soil. And whether he sleeps or whether he goes about his business, the thing is going to come up whether he realizes it or not, even if he doesn't understand. And at that time they probably didn't understand the germination process and all that's involved in growing things. But yet when the time comes because of the fruit, it's time to pull it off. You see, I could ask you this morning, how many of you are ready for a harvest in your life and ready for the abundance of God in your life? I mean, you'd say amen. I mean, if you're Pentecostal, you'd say, oh, glory. If you're Baptist, you'd nod your head. If you're Church of Christ, you might breathe out loud. If you're charismatic, you'd get up and dance. Whoa, glory! Everybody wants a harvest. I mean, we want blessing in our life. We want God to pour things into our life. And don't be so super spiritual that you don't think like that, because I know you do. We want God's blessings. I can't live without God's blessings. My wife is a blessing of God. My children are blessings of God. The clothes that I wear on my back are a blessing of God. My vehicles are a blessing of God. Everything that we have are blessings of God. And it's even okay to desire some things every now and then, as long as that's not the priority. God wants to bless you in relationships. He wants to bless you in health. He wants to bless you in family. He wants to bless you in business. God is a blessing God. It is the very nature of God to bless His children. It is His nature. He's a healer. He's a blesser. He's a provider. It's nothing that we have to do. It's who God is. God wants to give you things in the natural. He wants to bless you in the spiritual with wisdom and faith and anointing and revelation knowledge of who Jesus is. I've met many people, and you have too, that are impatient. I know a person back home when Lori and I were first had met in September 1990, she told me today. I thought it was August. There's this man in our church at that time, and he was single, and there in comes a beautiful, single, young woman. You try to act spiritual, but you go in your mind, she's a hottie. Or whatever language you use. Don't get all religious on me. What do you say in church? You go, she's good looking. My friend saw this beautiful woman walk in the door, and in his boldness walked up to her and said, can I take you out for pizza? I'm really going somewhere. It's actually a sad story. I'm being kind of funny to get here. And they went out for pizza and decided that night that this was God's will for his life to marry her. You know what I'm talking about? And within a week, 2 weeks, they were married. Now, I about fainted. I thought, this guy was so spiritual. You know, it's always the spiritual ones that do that stupid stuff. And he comes up and says, well, the Lord said, we use spiritual lingo. It makes it sound better. Well, God said, I had peace in my heart and I felt led. And you're so carnal. You know, well, I'm going to melt. And he felt led to marry this woman, and they were married 2 weeks after meeting. And I thought to myself, I was young in the Lord. I thought, I don't know. I don't know. That just doesn't seem right. But our pastor married them. They had two children. One of them had autism. And he divorced her. And the guy goes and remarries someone that he met instantly. And he divorced her. And he remarried someone else that he met instantly. And they're either divorced or on the verge of being divorced. And I'm not being necessarily critical of this man. But I look at this guy and I think, this is representative of so many people in the United States of America and within the churches of the United States of America under this spiritual banner that I'm just going to... It totally disregards the whole concept of process and courting and understanding one another and relating to one another. And I've looked at this guy and I remember speaking one time to a youth group very, very openly about my testimony, and this man walked up to me and rebuked me for being so open. And I didn't say anything at the time, but you always think of your best stuff driving down the road. Man, if I'd have just thought, I'd have said... I thought to myself, man, you think my testimony's bad? Look at your life. And so, there's a process involved. I'm not just staying on relationships totally. That, in fact, that's a very side element of what I'm talking about today. But while we're there, in regards to relationships, in regard to especially that of with the opposite sex. Some of you are looking for a mate. It's okay. It's okay that you're doing that. That's a natural thing that God put this thing inside of you to see someone and think, wow, she's good looking. Or wow, he's so handsome. It's okay. God put that in you. That's not the devil. But it's what you do with those tendencies. It's what you do with the... You have to realize that, God, I realize that I think this, but God, I'm also the guy that thought that back in 1982, and it wasn't right, was it? I'm also the guy that thought this, and I'm the guy that thought that, and I'm the guy that ended up paying all these prices today because I failed to realize there's a process involved in my life. And so, God, even though I'm feeling these things, I fully recognize it's more than likely just my emotions. And so, God, I submit my emotions to you, and I submit my passions to you, and I submit my feelings to you, and I say, nevertheless, Lord, not me, my will, but yours be done in my life. You see, God wants to give us all a harvest. God wants to bless you in so many areas of your life, even financially. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you greater understanding of His Word. He wants to give you greater understanding of His people. He wants to give you greater understanding. You read the first verses of Colossians. It talks about going into the higher heights and the deeper depths, that our understanding would be enlightened, that we would grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we would understand not only His glorious power, but His sufferings. And God wants to take you places you've never been. But so often we want to do it by reading one book at the Christian bookstore. You see, there's a process involved. We have to understand this process. So many don't. And three things I want to look at here today on this. Three simple rhyming words that will help you remember. Sow, grow, and mow. Sow, grow, and mow. You see, in our life, everything begins with sowing. Jesus said in verse 26, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seeds on the ground. He scatters seeds on the ground. Speaks of planting. You see, so often, we're being sown into. You are sowing into other people, positively and negatively, and sometimes without even conscience that you're doing it. Cynthia Ramirez has this gift. She doesn't even know it. She can walk by my office, and come into my office, as she frequently does. And she can say something off the fly. And it's like the Word of God sometimes. She doesn't even realize she says these little things. And she sows into my life. You see, there's seeds that are sown into your life constantly. There's what I call the general Word of God, which has to do with sermons from a pulpit, reading of the Word of God, maybe reading a book or something like that, or reading a psalm, and God just speaks to your heart right out of His Word. But can I tell you, there are specialized words for you today. You see, God wants to speak to you as an individual. He doesn't just want to speak to the congregation in general. He wants to get right where you live, and He wants to deal with the issues that you face, and He wants to talk to you about the things that only you know about. And God, let me tell you today, God is a very, very personal and intimate God. I mean, He knows the depth of your heart. I mean, you can read the Psalms of David, and you can understand David and God were very one-on-one personal. I mean, He knew God well enough that He wasn't all formal with God. Well, Heavenly Father, praise God. I mean, when He got with God, I mean, you knew there was relationship, because you know how it is when you have relationship with someone. You can be out in public and someone can say something and you act like it doesn't bother you. But if you're with your spouse at home, she hears about it. Or he hears it, because you're not afraid to express your feelings. David is with God and he just cries out to God, "How long, God? I complain against you. Why are my enemies gathered around me so greatly? God, how long will you allow me to suffer in this state?" You see, there's a word that God gives us generally, but God wants to sow into us a very specific, timely word that deals with you, that deals with your family, that deals with your healing, that deals with your growth. I remember whenever I first felt called into the ministry, I did not want to be in the ministry, to be honest with you. Pastor Phil and I have similar testimonies. In fact, I didn't like preachers. I really didn't, because I was in the late 90s, if you'll remember, in the late 80s, 88, 89, it seemed like every minister that was doing anything for God that was sort of a big name was falling in adultery, was falling in all kinds of sick things. And I was a 17, 18-year-old teenager, Jason, we were. And I was sitting there looking at that going, you know, if this is the kingdom of God, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And then I got saved. And then after I was saved, I was sensing inside of me this thing to do more than just be a witness for God. I was sensing as if God was wanting me to be a preacher. A preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher. I don't like preachers. And God was dealing with me, Tom. I'm calling you to do a work for me. And I resisted and I rebelled and I thought, God, surely that's not me. Surely that's this one. I know some have heard that and surrendered to that. But God was dealing with me about this constantly and constantly and constantly. And I opened my Bible one day to this interesting book called Esther. Never had I heard of Esther. And I read it 3 times in a row. And you know how you feel whenever God's speaking to your heart? I mean, I believe there's some certain... We talked about it the other day in chapel, like the roller coaster. This is literally, physically how I feel when I sense God is speaking to me. I'm not imparting this to you as your own doctrine, but there are signs that you know when God is speaking. You've been on a roller coaster. You know the one that goes up, click, 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 click. And you're going, why in the world did I get on this roller coaster? This is a big roller coaster. God, please get me off the roller coaster. Forgive me of my sins and my transgressions against Thee. And you get up to the top and you see Dallas and you see Arlington and you're like, my Lord. And you take off. Whoosh, and you get to the end. You go, man, I won't do it again. Now, I sense that literally this is me. And maybe it is you, but for me, whenever the Spirit of God is speaking to me, I get that queasy, knee-shaking, I love it, but I hate it at the same time, sensation. God was speaking to me out of the book of Esther. I'm talking about the sowing process that God sows into your life. And when He sows into your life, He sows generally, but I'm talking about how God can specifically speak to you And I'm going to tell you right now, that's what some of you need today. You need God to specifically speak to you. Daily, even. It can happen. I was sensing this as I read the book of Esther. And I come to that key verse, the 14th verse of the 4th chapter, where it says, if you hold your peace at this time, then the enlargement and the deliverance of the Jews will arise from another place. But who knows why, but you and your father's house shall perish. Who knows why you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this? And that for such a time as this, coming into kingdom for such a time as this, I mean, God was just punching me in the spirit. I'm calling you to do a work. I'm calling you to do a work. I'm calling you to do a work. This was a Wednesday, and that night I went to church, and my pastor, this is a true story, my pastor, who, this was a Pentecostal church, and there was two altar calls, and usually mixed, salvation, baptism, and Holy Spirit, every week. And that's okay, nothing wrong with that. But he never did anything outside of that. But he opens his Bible that night to Esther, chapter 4, verse 14, and begins to preach a message called, For Such a Time as This. And the invitation was, those who feel called into the ministry. Have you ever had those kinds of experiences? I mean, you feel like a light is on you, and you can hear angel voices. I could feel the angel's wings. And it was like, God. And I ran to the altar, and I just lifted my hands and prayed, and I was like, God, I will do it, even though I hate preachers, I'll be one. And those are rare, I'll be honest with you. That doesn't happen to me every day or even every year. But there are times in our life when God can give you a specific word. It may not be so dramatic as that. Sometimes God can just, I've been ministered to so many times by the wind blowing through the leaves in a tree. I've been ministered to by the smile on someone else's face and the contentment that I see in their heart. I've been ministered to by Cynthia walking by my office and spouting out a sentence that she didn't even know what she said, but I knew what it meant. It was from God Himself. You see, God wants to get you to a place of intimacy with Him where you're not so preoccupied with all the other things in your life, where you're just letting God sow into you. God, sow into me through your word. Sow into me through your spirit. Sow into me, God. That needs to be our cry today as believers. God, sow into me. I want the word in my life. I want the seed of your word in me because I read that it's going to grow a great harvest. There's a process. It begins with sowing. God wants to sow into you today. He does constantly, generally speaking. But I want to encourage you this week to find a place to spend some time in prayer, maybe even at the end of this service, or today, or tonight before you go to bed. To find some time to pray. It doesn't have to be elaborate nor long. But just get with the Lord and say, God, here I am and you know who I am. I want to know what your heartbeat for me is. I've got so many ideas and concepts and plans and agendas and ideas and to-do lists and emails to reply to. But God, I just want to know what you're saying right now. What kind of emails are you sending me, Lord? God can send them anytime. You don't even have to be a part of a Wi-Fi area. You don't even have to have a broadband card. Just got to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Second part of the process is the growing process. There's the sowing process and then there's the growing process. Verses 27 and 28 says this, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain first, the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel of the head. There's a growing process involved after the sowing, and this is really where the true test of process is. The writer of this assumes that everybody knows that there's the process of watering and fertilizing, therefore he doesn't even mention it in the parable. But what that has to do with, the growing part of it, can I tell you that the germination process of natural plants, you have nothing to do with that. Outside of the fact that you water it and fertilize it. That's our responsibility, to water it, to fertilize it, to give it proper shade, to give it proper sun, to make sure that it's taken care of. But the germination process of a natural plant, there is nothing that you do in that. You don't get over it and put, it's not scientific. You're not adding this compound and then touching it with this and doing this. I mean, it is something, it's a God thing. I mean, plants that grow, you want to see a miracle, just look at plants, they grow. I think about Jake in the garden out there at Calvary Commission. And I think about all the family rows that are out there too. The families have little garden patches. And I go out there and look and I go, I think that's a tomato. And I look at Jake's stuff, man. Jake's stuff is just immaculate, big, healthy, hearty onions and jalapenos. And I went out there last year, and, man, he's got like 12 or I don't know how many varieties of peppers that grow out there and corn. I mean, his stuff is just healthy and just taken care of. And Jake works out there. I've been out, come home late at night sometime. Jake's out there watering the garden in the dark, man. Got the dogs with him, and he's just taking care of the garden. He's the gardener at Calvary Commission, for those of you that don't know Jake. He's out there just working away in this garden, and I mean, he toils and he labors and he works hard and he waters, and hours are spent in that garden, and he'll bring up these big fat onions, make your breath stink for 3 days, man. Just got onions and peppers and just, I don't know what all he grows out there, but it's a healthy, one of the healthiest gardens I've ever seen. And I look at our family row, maybe the Fenton's is better than ours. I think we have a tomato and something else. But you know what? Even with all the toil and labor that Jake puts in that, he does not make it grow. He gives the resources and provides the things necessary for growth, but the germination process, the growth process, is a God thing. Even naturally speaking. We ain't even hit the supernatural yet. That's where we're going. You see, growing takes time. It takes time for Jake in the garden. The unspoken things in this parable, the watering and the fertilizing, is speaking of our responsibility as Christians. You see, if we want to proceed further than we are, it involves some things on our part. It involves some prayer time. It involves some word time. It involves, let me say this unpopular word, in this seeker-sensitive era, it requires some suffering. It requires some testing and some trials and some tribulation. And to think that you as a believer are not going to go through trials and tribulation and testing, that is false doctrine. Because over and over again in the Scriptures, Old and New Testament alike, it speaks of the suffering of people of God. David was anointed king of Israel as a shepherd boy, but for many years he suffered as a renegade, running from an angry King Saul who tried to kill him. His boss tried to kill him two or three times. He had to hide in caves. He had to live like a renegade. He had to take care of himself out in the wild, and finally he came to that place of sitting on the throne. But years were involved in that. There was a process in King David's life. There's a process in your life in growing to become the person of God. And we can't just sit back, hear me out, and understand what I'm really saying here. We can't say God does it all. That's over-spiritual to say that. Does God have to do with it? Absolutely. You're not going to grow an ounce. You can pray your head off, read every book in the Bible, empty the Christian bookstore and read everything they've got, listen to every CD that's ever been made about Christianity, and you're not going to grow one inch unless God supernaturally grows you. But at the same time, you're not going to grow one inch if God, you can read one verse with the heart that says, God, I desire more of what you've got, and God can say, I love you, son. Let me pull you up a little bit. You see, there's a process. It's a process. But we've got to pray. We've got to study. We've got to walk in obedience. We have to learn to wait on the Lord. Lord, here I am, sitting still. You know, I think that's one of the biggest disciplines that we face as Christians. If we're not careful, we can become religious really quick in just religious process by saying, well, I've read the Bible. I've got a daily devotion. I never miss it. And wonderful. That is where it begins. I'm not knocking that. We need to develop that. But beyond the daily devotion and beyond just the habits of Christianity, God is looking at us going, are you waiting? I mean, are you sitting in my presence and saying, God, I'm not going to move until your eyes turn another direction? This is a discipline, isn't it? I pray that I would be there more than I am, that I can say, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm not going to get ahead of you. I want to grow with you, Lord. I want to mature with you, Lord. Keith Green used to sing a song called He'll Take Care of the Rest. Speaking of, if we do our part, God will do His. Two quick things about the growing process. Number one, it's painful. Number two, it requires patience. It's painful, and it requires patience. I know you remember when you were growing, and maybe when your children were growing, 6th and 7th grade. So isn't it amazing how children just grow up? Someone emailed us, some friends of ours emailed us pictures the other day of the Johnsons, in fact, Chad, Shannon. And maybe they sent you those pictures. And I looked at those pictures, and I'm like, who are these kids? I just saw them a year ago, but I don't even recognize who they are. They've just grown. I look at my own kids. Man, they're just growing up quick. They're coming up to here on me. I remember when they were like little baby Elijah this morning. I like them when they're like little baby Elisha. You know, just cute and fat cheeks. And just. But then you turn around, man, and now they're growing up, going to youth group. Wow. I remember growing up from the summer in between the sixth and the seventh grade. I grew really tall fast, like 6 inches in a summer. And developed calcium deposits on the end of my knees. Maybe some of you have experienced that. They were so sensitive to the touch. I mean, even to just touch them like that would make you just cry. They hurt so bad. The tall guys are taking it. Yeah, I'm well, I know it. I remember in school, somebody turned around and hit my knees. And, oh, I would just cry. They hurt so bad. And I could hardly even walk sometimes. My knees hurt so much. And that's because I was growing. There's growing pains involved in our bodies. And when we grow in the Lord, it's the same. This natural principle applies in the supernatural. There are pains in your life. You see, there are habits that some of us have that God is trying to break. And that process of breaking the habits and breaking the life cycle are painful. It's not the devil beating you up, I promise you. It's none of that. It's just you going, God, I submit to your will. The growing process can be painful. It takes time to grow. As a church grows, it's painful. You get new faces, new ideas, new people, new vision. As a family grows, it changes. When you bring home a newborn baby, guess what? Your family is going to change. When things begin to grow, even in the natural, in the supernatural, there is pain involved in growth. It requires patience whenever we are growing. We can't get ahead of God and say, God, I quit. God, I give up. God, I give in. But in the end of it all, in the end of the sowing and the end of the growing is the mowing. There's a harvest coming in all of our life. Jesus said in verse 29, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. I want to close with this. Can I tell you today there's a harvest coming in your life? I'm not talking a bunch of health, wealth, and blabber pie in the sky, no content whatsoever talk to make you feel good about yourself. But I'm seriously speaking the truth of God's Word. God wants there to be a harvest in your life. Now, I'm not going to define that for you today. I'm not going to sit here and say, God's going to give you a job, brother, $100,000 a year. If I said, God's going to give you a job for $100,000 a year, come forward and pray right now, man. This place, Jesus, God, help me, Lord. I'm not saying he's not. That's not what I'm really talking about today. I'm saying there's a harvest for you. It may be as simple as something you've wrestled with for 22 years. Maybe a fear. As we were having our prayer time this morning, and as I was looking at everyone here observing, I was just thinking of all of the different people represented here and all of the different backgrounds represented here and all of the emotions that are represented here this morning. Some of you are living in fear right now. Some of you are worried right now. Some of you are bitter or mad. Some of you just have peace and joy like you've never known in your life. You're almost silly and giddy because of it. Some of you are confused. Some of you are bored. Some of you are hungry and thinking, when am I going to shut up? And so, you know, there's just all kinds of emotions that I was sensing today. There's emotions here today. And I thought, you know, I don't, even if we took the time to get to know every one person, I know my ICOM 2 guys pretty good because I get to be with them 3 days a week now teaching them. And we've had a lot of interesting topics in ICOM 2 discussion time. But even with all of those interesting topics, I really don't know you like God knows you. Pastor Philip, as great of a pastor as he is, and as much as he prays for you, and as much as he's involved with you, he really doesn't know you like God knows you. Even your spouse, as much as she knows you, and buddy, she knows you, she really doesn't know you like God knows. You see, there's an individual you, and you're the only one like it. Now, you ever notice sometimes you go play, it seems like there's about 32 different types of people. And everywhere I've gone, I've looked at people and I go, that's a Johnny right there. It reminds me of Johnny. And that's a Stevie over there. And there's a LaWanda right there. And you know, just all these different people. You just see these people. It's like they're the same person with a different name. Now maybe that's just me and my mind went off in psychology. Anyway, let's get back spiritual. God knows you individually. I mean, he knows your fears. I mean, he really knows what really makes you tick on the inside. You can, your personality is kind of what you want people to see. But the real you, the Holy Spirit, in fact, here's the truth of it. God knows that person even better than you do. Now that is intimate. And he still, even though he knows you, still not only tolerates you. See, God doesn't tolerate you. We tolerate one another sometimes, don't we? But God doesn't tolerate you. God looks at you and goes, I created you. You know that? I created you. And he's got a specific word for you. It may not be dramatic. It may not be something as dramatic as stories you've heard. It may be something so simple that if you were to tell someone, they would go, really? But God's got a specific word for you today, and he's got a specific harvest in your life. Maybe as simple as breaking habits. It may be as simple as just having understanding of a certain scripture. It may, and I don't believe it's one way. I believe God is very broad in his understanding. And I believe that one step leads to the next, and we go from glory to glory. And when God gets us here, he takes us somewhere else. And God wants us to go forward and move forward. He wants you to have a harvest in your life. I want to do something in closing today. I will have the worship team come back in a minute. Can I mess your plan up just a little bit? I see on the schedule here that it's All in All is for the next song, Brother Andy. Can we sing Blessed Be Your Name instead in just a minute? But what I want to do first, how many have heard of Keith Green? Keith Green was one of the pioneers in Christian contemporary Christian music. He died in 1982. He lived in Lindale. He was dear friends with Joe Foss. And he was the leader of Last Days Ministries, which still exists today. His wife, Widow Melody, runs that.